Well, good morning, everyone. So glad you're here. Good seeing all of you and knowing everybody is okay now. Talked a little bit about last week about the difference between mules and Mustangs. And I didn't know if I was going to share it this morning, but I'm going to, Lord willing. So I think it's important to know, and it's kind of opened my eyes to a lot of things. I can remember as a kid that my dad bought me a horse on the farm, and that horse was my transportation. And because we didn't live in town, lived a mile or so away. And so wherever I went, I had to go on horseback. Before that, I used a tractor. So, but you know, the horse that my dad bought was almost like a mule. Wasn't too lively. But my dad was wanting to start me out on something gentle. So this horse is very gentle, was old, an older horse. But then as my wife and I were married and we bought a farm, we bought some horses. And I let my wife get on my horse one time because I wanted lively. I wanted next to a Mustang. You know, something that was barely broke. You know, when I ride, I'd like to go down, if there's a steep embankment or whatever, I want my horse to go where I want him to go. You know what I mean? Or if I get to a stream and we're going to cross over, and a lot of times horses will shy away, they don't want to go. I wanted one that would not hesitate to do things for me that I wanted to do. And so I had a horse like that. 16 and a half hands, maybe 17 or so, 17 and a half. Pretty horse. And so I rode him all over and very lively. Boy, when I wanted to go, you better hang on to the horn on the saddle, otherwise you might get left behind. Because this thing was raring. He was ready. So I told my wife, I said, why don't you get on? You know, and this horse was very tender mouth that, you know, I could neck rein and to stop, just barely pull back. And he'd stop, mind real well, but raring to go. So I told my wife, I said, well, how would I like to get on and, you know, just set on him? I mean, he won't buck you off or nothing. So she was leery. And finally I talked her into it, and she got on. I said, well, okay, we'll just walk him around a little bit. And so he started to go, and then she pulled back on the reins. Well, he stopped, but she didn't let up on the reins. So he reared up, way up. And then she turned loose of everything and fell off the back and broke her wrist. So she didn't even ride him in the yard before she got hurt. But you know, you want lively. It's hard. You can't ride a dead horse, is what I'm saying. I wanted one lively, you know, and sometimes you can't do much with an older horse that is just not wanting to do anything. I had one that, well, in fact, that horse my dad bought, I'd try to ride it down to the village, and once in a while he'd turn around, and then he was running back to the barn. This was a barn horse. Did you ever have one of those? So I always had to keep him pointed away from the house, away from the barn. But you know, a lot of how that is how we are, I think, a lot of times with God. A lot of times that God wants us ready to go. God shared things with us. We've learned things in the Lord. We know some things, but yet we're maybe not quite sure. And so we hesitate. And I think that's why God told me at one time when I was praying, God told me, he says, Jim, you get in my way. And I never understood that for the longest time, but I found out is because a lot of times God would give me direction, show me something, or I'd be inspired to do something, but I would reason it out. I would think about, well, really, should I do that? I don't know, what will people think? And on you go. And so the Lord says, Jim, because you do that, he says, you're in my way. I can't do anything. You're the one I want to go cross that stream, and you won't go. You turn. He says, you're the one that's, you're like always heading for the barn. And so, folks, we have to learn, I think, a lot of different things. In fact, let me read some scripture to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We want to start with this, and then we'll get into our message. 1 Corinthians 9. And this is striving. Folks, we need to learn how to strive. My heading here is striving for a crown. Verse 24, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. It says, Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And anyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. He says, therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I run not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body, and I bring it into subjection. Least when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. And then look again, if you would, to Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Galatians 5, 1. It says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word today, and Lord, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would speak this morning to us. Holy Spirit, you lead us and guide us. Show us the things that we may need to change in our lives. Holy Spirit, that you would inspire us to understand that you're faithful and you not lead us into destruction or into hurt, but you will lead us into God's glory to bring him honor. And so, Father, I just thank you for opportunities that you give us all. How that when we come into hard times, some people getting sick and Lord, even unto death. And Lord, you gave us the ability to pray. You taught us how to pray. And so, Father, we have done that, and you've been faithful to revive them and to heal them and even to bring them back to us. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your love, your healing power, and your abilities, and how you lead us. Father, thank you. Present your word to us, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So Mustangs and mules, taming and inspiring. You know, it kind of looks like the Lord would rather tame something that had a little spirit, little excitement, a desire, like faith, to trust God and to step out in it. Kind of like Peter. You know, Jesus is walking on the water to the boat, and they're in the middle of a storm. The boat's getting ready to sink, man. It's filling with water. And then they look out and they see something on the water. And as it came closer, one of them said, "It's Jesus." And Jesus even recognized, you know, okay, I'm here. It said that he would have walked by. I think sometimes when we don't recognize the Lord, he does kind of walk by us. It's like you kind of miss your opportunity. Have you ever missed an opportunity before? I mean, it was there, and you thought, I should do that, but then you hesitate, and then it's gone. And so then Peter yells out, "I love Peter." Got in a lot of trouble. Did a lot of wrong things. But he said this to the Lord. He said, "If it is you, Jesus, have me come to you, walking on the water." Jesus said, "Come." What could he say? He couldn't say, "Well, no, it's me, Peter, but I don't want you to come. You're just going to drown." He just said, "Come." You know, sometimes when we see the gate open, we need to maybe walk through it. Do you ever move cattle from one field to another? And you have, a lot of you haven't, but just take my word for it. Sometimes you think, you're the dumbest bunch of cows. The gate's open. What's your problem? And they'll stand there at an open gate sometimes, and nobody moves. And then finally, one bold old cow will go ahead and walk through. And then maybe another one. Then pretty soon they all just dart through it. But otherwise, they can stand there at an open gate and not go through it. And that's sometimes how we are. But Peter says, "I'm not missing an opportunity here." He got out of the boat. Of course, I wonder what the other disciples said. It's not recorded, but they said, "Peter, you're going to drown." Sometimes we don't get real good encouragement from the church. Amen. I can remember being in a deacon's meeting. Well, no, this was a business meeting at church, and I was just saved for maybe 5-6 months. And I brought something up in the business meeting about giving the pastor a raise. And a lot of people didn't like that, but we did it anyway. I said, in me just being saved, seeing offense, but I was going to go over it or through it. I just simply said, "Hey, he needs a raise. He's not getting enough money. He's got a family to support. We can afford as a church to give him more, so let's do it." And the head deacon turned around to me and he says, "Jim, he said, I'm going to give you, we'll give you 6 months to come down from your spiritual high so we can use you." I had to backslide. He's wanting to do it. He said, "Come on now. I don't want this kind of Mustangy attitude around here. Be a mule like the rest of us." You know, mules are important to have. Y'all know that they are important because they're steadier, they're sturdy, they're kind of happy where they're at sometimes. But you know, if you're plowing new ground sometimes or wanting to see new areas, sometimes you want to get on that Mustang. He's ready to go, but you got to hold him back. You don't want to be on a mule where you're trying to make him go. You know what I mean? It's like you're wore out by the time you get there. Or be on an old horse that if they turn around, you get off of them for a reason. And then they're gone because they're heading to the barn, leaving you on foot. But see, this is what it's all about. And Peter, he got out. Drowned or not, I'm going. And sometimes that's how we have to be, folks. God, if you're real, are you real? I believe you're real. Your word says. And then you go for it. And God then blesses as you go. Folks, it's kind of like, do you remember how the Lord took us in and learning how to pray prior to all of our problems here? We had to learn how to pray. We had to learn to speak the word of God. We had to learn to pray by faith, the prayer of faith. Not praying out of hope, oh God, if it be your will. See, the only thing with that is, we hope, and then we look to see if anything happens. But see, God was teaching us that you pray the prayer of faith. You speak the word of God. You confess the word of God. You don't just hope, and then it's like, well, nothing happens. And then I've heard people say, not here, of course, but I've heard people say, well, I guess it wasn't God's will. Well, that could be, but maybe we did something wrong or didn't realize what we needed to change in the way we pray. Now, folks, I want to tell you, with Bob and Jackie, you can't tell me God wasn't answering our prayers. We prayed and God moved. We prayed for Richard and God was moving. And he's with us here today. Folks, we have to learn, but if we just want to be one of the group and kind of muley, you know, where we're just kind of, well, this is how we've always done it and there's no sense in changing, then nothing really starts to happen. Folks, I want to be bold. You know, it's like, why didn't any of the other 11 get out there with Peter? Why didn't they all jump out of the boat and walk to Jesus? Don't you think that would have been fun? Just think about that. You're out there, there's a storm, and you're out there skipping and jumping around on the water, having a great time. Don't you think that was a good time? And Peter was having a great time until he took his eyes off of Jesus. You see, folks, when things get hard, it's like, what do you have in your heart? What do you have on your mind? When I pray for something and it doesn't seem like it's working, I'll say, God, you said, this is what you said. And I know you're not a man that you can lie. And your word will accomplish what you've sent it forth to do. That's in Isaiah 55. I got that from a Jehovah Witness yesterday that was at the house. I love him. But he's been coming now for the last month and we've been talking. I hate it though when they bring somebody else with them because they think the two of them now they're going to gang up on me. Well, there was two of them last week. And we had a great time. The other one, the second one that came, didn't know much. But folks, life is not just a challenge to us and shouldn't be. But I think it really should be like an expectation. See, I expect God to move. I believe God is using a lot of things that come my way just to prove himself. You know, it's like what Richard going through, whether you realize it or not, you can see without anybody telling you that God really loves you. God cares for you. Now, people can talk and tell you something like that all the time, but when you experience it firsthand, folks, it makes a difference. You see, we know then whom we have believed because we've been persuaded by his goodness and by his touch. You folks, I kind of like being a Mustang. I enjoy having our mules because you got no stability without the mule sometimes. So my wife's a mule. She's more laid back, and I love that about her. I'm not. She's just totally my opposite. But you know, I'll see something, I'm ready to do it. And Charlene will say, well, and sometimes she's very right. So I always have to listen. I don't do my own thing. See, I've learned in my years of how to listen, because I know how I am. I'm a Mustang. I'm ready. If the fence isn't too high, I'm going over. There's a loose wire and a hole in it, I'm going through it. I guess that's why it would be hard for me to really be a pastor sometimes of a church, because we'd be doing all kinds of things. But see, you need the mules to steady you. So nobody's excluded. Everybody's needed. You'd really have a hard time with a lot of Mustangs. Sometimes they're the hardest ones to train because they're so wild sometimes. But you know, Jesus took them and he worked more on those. And the reason was, is there was new ground. There was new ground to cultivate, new ground to work on. There were more things over the horizon that a mule wouldn't be interested in. They could do it, but they're not interested in that. They kind of want to get things going here and maybe keep things steady here, which needs to be. But the Mustang, they never settle with anything. Know what I mean? Sometimes they get in the way and cause more problems. I know I did. But they have a passionate nature in them. And see, that's what most of the disciples had. They had that passion. They wanted to serve God. They wanted to really make things happen for him because they loved him. They exhibited their strong personalities with zeal and impulsive behavior. Remember James and John? Jesus called them the sons of thunder. They were the ones you really didn't want to disagree with. Jesus had to deal with that. Remember when they were going through Samaria and they wouldn't accept him? They didn't want Jesus in their city because he was going to Jerusalem. And so they were offended by that. And so they said, James and John did, they said, Lord, shall we call down fire from heaven and have them all consume like Elijah did? Jesus, I wonder what Jesus thought, but he had to look at him and say, boys, you need to realize we're of a different spirit now. We don't want to hurt everybody that doesn't agree with us. And folks, that's the way we need to be. There's people who are not going to believe or understand where we're at sometimes. And just because they don't agree with us doesn't mean that they're our enemy. Just means they're kind of muley. Right? They're not Mustangs like all of us or some of us are. And so I'm getting to where I have no problem with people that we don't believe the same. I pray for them. I share some scripture. But it's like, okay. Later on, we can visit it. You've heard other scriptures, other reasoning. We'll let the Holy Spirit minister, right? Isn't that his job? You don't want to beat somebody into submission, I don't think. That doesn't work too well, let me tell you. My dad tried. But you know what the Word of God does with all of us? With whether we're really inspired or we're not so inspired or whatever. You know that the Word transforms itself into us, or I should say our lives transform into it. You become like your teacher. As you read and you study God's Word and you let the Holy Spirit minister and put in your heart what the meaning of it all is, then it changes you. My wife would tell you, I think, that I've changed a lot. Changed a lot in what I believe. There's a lot of things that I believe that was wrong. And the Lord had to do a lot of work in me. A lot of change. And there, I still need a lot of work. Y'all probably thinking that right now. I say, yeah, well, he ain't done yet. You're right, he's not. But you know, I can trust the Lord. And I'm not afraid to step out. I believe that if I was on that boat, I would be the one walking on the water. Because I'd love to just tell you how it is. And see, you know, a lot of times that's the only way to really experience the Lord. Is by stepping out in faith. And doing what he asks. And just forgetting about the rat. Lord, that doesn't matter. I want to serve you. Because you're worthy. Folks, y'all know that when you're saved, you become children of God. I want to tell you, don't mess with me. I'll tell my daddy. And sometimes that's how we have to be, I believe, with the devil and the things that he does and how he comes across to us. When we come across sickness, we say, no, I'm not receiving that. By his stripes, I was healed. So therefore, I am healed. So devil, I'll tell you what you can do. My daddy says, you can be gone now in Jesus' name. I'm not taking what you got. So, everybody here is a Mustang, aren't you? Aren't you? I think most of yous are. We got a few mules, but that's good because they kind of keep reins on them wild ones. You wait until the wild ones come in, more of them. We're going to need you. But folks, I just want to say, love God, trust him. Don't be afraid. Lord always says, fear not. Fear not. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and a sound mind. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I guess now I'm probably half mule and half wild horse, maybe. But whatever it is, I belong to the Lord. Father, I thank you for your word and for your people putting up with me at times. And I ask that you would just bless us. Lord, help us to be secure in you, to walk in your strength by your word, led by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we will make a difference in this world. So thank you for the opportunity and the privilege of being able to walk with you, to serve you. And we thank you for all of that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. What we would like to do is I would love for Richard to come up. I want our prayer warriors or anyone else, in fact, the whole church, want to lay hands on Richard. We want to pray for him and Mary. He needs his eyesight repaired. Lord's working on that now. He needs his strength back. And we want the Lord to do more for him. And even stronger. So if you would, come on forward. We're going to pray for him, anoint him with oil, and allow the Lord to do his special work in him.